All right, we're starting here on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph, four lines down. Gemara here is discussing Rabbi Shimon's opinion within the Mishnah. We had a Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek. We have a Mishnah here on Daf Yutet Amud Bet. And the Mishnah discusses two types of Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olomo. One instance in which Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olomo is born after the second brother performs Zibum. And the other instance, which was the first Mishnah, where the brother is born before the second brother performs the Yibum. So now, along comes Rabbi Oshaya. Our Gemara has Rav Oshaya in it, but it really should be Rabbi Oshaya, and we'll see why today's daf, it should be Rabbi Oshaya. But he says, Rabbi Shimon argues not only in the case found in our Mishnah here, on Yudchet Amud Bet, but he also argues on the Mishnah that is found in the beginning of the Perek. So now, the Gemara challenged Rabbi Oshaya and said, okay, I understand Rabbi Shimon's opinion with regards to our Mishnah over here, because in our Mishnah over here, Levi, who is born after Shimon already performed Yibum with Reuven's wife, he only was paga with this woman, Behetera. He only was in the world with her when she was married to Shimon, only in a time that it was heter for him. So I understand Rabbi Shimon's opinion with regards to our Mishnah. But with regards to the first Mishnah in the Perek, I don't understand why Rabbi Shimon would disagree with the Chachamim. If he is born before Shimon performs Yibum with this woman, then why would you believe that Rabbi Shimon would say that that's okay? She wasn't yet married to Shimon. So Rabbi Oshaya says that is because Rabbi Shimon believes Yesh Zikah, and not only Yesh Zikah, but Zikah is Kikanusa Damya. And Zikah is a case where as if you're married. So then, when the wife of Reuven falls to Shimon, and Shimon's going to perform Yibum with her, that performance of Yibum is not really when he starts to be married to her. He starts to be married to her from the moment she becomes a possible Yivamatim because of the Zikah. The Zikah makes it as if she's married to him at that moment. And if that's the case, she was really married to Shimon before the birth of Levi, because the Zika existed already at that moment in time. So that is Rabbi Oshaya's position. The Gemara now challenges that and says, is that really true? Can Rabbi Shimon really hold that Zika is Kikanusa Damya? Because we just brought down that Rabbi Shimon is discussing a Mishnah later on, where Rabbi Shimon says, Mamar and Zika together, I'm not sure which way that goes. If I have Mamar plus Zika, does that mean that they are completely married? And therefore, she's a full-fledged wife of Shimon? Or does that mean that not married yet, still waiting for the completion of the Yibum? What we see from over there is, clearly, Rabbi Shimon thinks Zika is not enough. Zika is a Safek. And even if you add Mamar on top of that, he's still not sure. So then in our case, in our Mishnah, where there's only Zika, certainly, he would believe that it's a safek. And how could you, Rabbi Oshaya, believe that Rabbi Shimon thinks that Zika is Kikanusa Damya? That's where we left off yesterday.
Does anybody deal with the question that Levi is like a month old?
Tosfot dealt with it before, not in the way that you want him to deal with it, but Tosfot does mention that an issue of what's called Darchei Darchei Noam, that the Torah only puts things that are nice. So therefore, Tosfot says that if we would make the woman wait. For instance, Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam. Forget about the Easter of Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam. Tosfot says it would be impractical. Because what happens if a woman is left without children, her husband passes away waiting for Yibum? There are no brothers around. But then, 10 years later, or 5 years later, a brother's born. Then that would be Ishir Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam. If you thought that Ishir Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam still had to perform Yibum, that wouldn't be fair. She'd go off, get married. And then some, she has to worry now that 5 years later, 10 years later, she's going to have a brother-in-law born. So Tosafot says that's not right. But Tosafot then entertains the possibility that maybe her mother-in-law is pregnant at the time that her husband passed away. So that's the case where we need Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam, because there she knows she's going to have a brother-in-law. But Tosafot doesn't address is what you're saying is, just because she's pregnant doesn't mean that the child, you know, they're going to be an age difference of, you know, a minimum of 12 years. Remember, they got married much younger in those days. These girls are probably married at somewhere between 10 and 14, probably over the hill at 14. They're getting married pretty early, but I'm saying even if the child is born then, you're talking about a 12-year difference between her and her future husband. So It's not simple, but again, they only addressed this issue of in the future she had to wait. But waiting in general wasn't. Now we know that from the Torah already by Tamar. Right? By Tamar, Yehuda says, wait for Shelah to grow up and he'll marry you. Which means that Tamar is certainly older than Shelah at the time, and Yehuda's asking her to wait a number of years for Shelah to grow up and then take this woman as a wife who's much older than him. So we do have examples of that, evidence of that in the Torah, but nobody takes it head on from the way that I think that you would be like, okay, these aren't good matches. Why are we waiting around? So now we left off that Zika Kiknusa Damio, and with the Gemara is questioning whether that's really true, based on that Mishnah that we brought before. The Gemara says, V'chi teima, mido raita hachanami dimyabma chado, umiftara chado. In that case that we brought from the Mishnah before, maybe min ha-Torah, it would be that he could perform Yibum with one of them, and the other one would go free. This is in an instance where Reuven passed away, Shimon already has a wife, Shimon performs Mamar with this woman and then passes away, and now we're looking at Levi. What is Levi's relationship to these two wives of Shimon? So now you're telling me maybe min ha-Torah, he could perform Yibum with one of the two wives, and the other wife would go free automatically, meaning the Torah acknowledges that Shimon is really married to these two women, because Zika Kiknusa Damyo, and it's only Midrabanan who the Asur, and only Midrabanan do we make him address both of these women separately. Gezeira Mishum Shema Yomru Bet Yivamot Abaot Mishnei Batim, that you would have thought that it looks like Yivamot that come from two households, because you would have thought that otherwise, if when Levi acts over here and says, performs Yibum with one of the women, and you let the other one go, right now, it never looked like Reuven's wife got married to Shimon. They never consummated that Yibum. It was simply that Zika Kiknusa Damya and Mamar, and now people are going to look from the outside, and it looks like, well, Levi married Shimon's wife, let's say, and Reuven's wife goes free. So you would come to the mistaken conclusion that when you have two Yivamot that are coming from two different brothers, as long as you deal with one of them, the other one goes free. So the Chamim imposed in this case that you act with both women. But midoraita ain't hachanami. That's not the case. V'hataimud Rabbi Shimon mishum ma'amar v'lav ma'amar hu. In that Mishnah, and we're going to see in the Braita now, that Rabbi Shimon says the only question here is whether Shimon performed ma'amar or did not perform Mamar. Titania, we have a braita. Amar lehem Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim. Im mamaro shel sheni mamar. If the mamar of the second one, meaning Shimon, is good, meaning it takes hold, then eshet sheni huboel. Then, if that's the case, when he takes that woman as his wife, he's taking Shimon's wife as his yivama. V'im mamaro shel sheni eino mamar. And if the ma'amar of the second one is not a ma'amar, meaning that Shimon's ma'amar with Reuven's wife is meaningless, then Eshet Rishon Uboel, then he is marrying or performing Yibum with Reuven's wife. So you see that Rabbi Shimon thinks the pivot here is ma'amar and not Zika. So those are two problems for Rabbi Yoshaya. Number one is, we see that Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah there does not think that Zika is an automatically Kekenus Adamyo. And number two is, even if you want to suggest that's all rabbinic, that Mishnah, midoraita, it's this way, that's not the way Rabbi Shimon speaks. Rabbi Shimon speaks about Mamar as being the pivot, not Zika being the pivot over here. The other thing to take note of, and this will come up in Rashi and Tosafot later on, which is that Rabbi Shimon sees this question of Mamar and Zika as black and white. He thinks that when it comes to Zika, either Zika is Kiknusa Damya, Zika means you're fully married, or Zika is nothing. Mamar is either that you're fully married, or Mamar is nothing. It's either all or nothing, in that sense, that either it works or it doesn't work. The Chachamim, who argue on him, think of Mamar and Zika in that in-between stage, which is that it is quasi-married. Mamar makes it like you're quasi-married, Zika makes it like you're quasi-married, and that's what the problem is here, is because it leaves you in a limbo state. Rabbi Shimon says, either it is or it isn't, I just don't know which one of them it is, right? Anytime you have a safek, safek can derive from the fact that I have two possibilities, I just don't know which it is. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Chachamim say the safek is because whatever this activity is, it lands in the middle. It doesn't work all the way, but it's not like nothing. And so that'll be a pivot between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Just keep that in mind as we work through the position here of Rabbi Shimon. Then, Amar Abaye, Velo Shani Locha Ben Zikat Yabam Echad, Lezikat Shnei Yavamim. Wait a minute. I have a good answer for Rabbi Hoshaya. You are bringing me cases of different nature. There's one case where there's only one Yabam there. Then the case that you brought from the Mishnah is a case where there are two Yavamim available. So in a case where you have only one Yabam, the Zika is going to be much stronger because he's the only one who has a possibility of performing Yibum over here. So the fact that he has a Zika here, we're going to ascribe a lot more importance to that Zika because he is either the only Yabam or there's going to be Chalitza over here. The only two choices are in his hands. And if he goes ahead and then he performs Yibum, we could have said Kekenusa Damia, that Zika made it as if he was married earlier. But when you deal with Shnei Yivamim, when you're dealing with two brothers who could possibly perform Yibum, yes, maybe both of them Zika. But by definition, one of them is going to have their Zika disappear. Retroactively, one of these two Yivamim is going to have it go away. And now you're going to say Kekenusa Damia to both brothers? That's certainly not the case. So he says, you asked on Rabbi Hoshaya from a Mishnah that involves two brothers. So maybe over there, the Zika link is weaker. In our Mishnah, you could be talking about a case where it's just Reuven and Shimon. When Reuven passed away, Shimon's the only brother there. Levi's born later, but Shimon was the only brother available for Yibum at the time that Reuven died. That's why the Zika is much stronger. So you challenged Rabbi Hoshaya from a Mishnah that has two brothers. Our Mishnah only has one brother. Let us distinguish between them. Dilma, Kiyama Rabbi Shimon, Zika Kenusa Damia, Abiyaba Mechad. Maybe that's the only time Rabbi Shimon says that Zika is Kenusa Damia. Aval B'Shnei Yivamim Lo. And that's why Rabbi Shimon has a safek in the Mishnah that we quoted. But in our Mishnah, he'll say Ki Kenusa Damia, like Rabbi Hoshaya. Where it says, Umi Shanele, the Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon really make such a distinction? V'hatanyo. We have a breita. Kalal Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon sets a principle here. Kol Shaleida Kodemet L'Nisuin. If the birth of the brother is before the marriage, meaning Levi is born before Shimon performs Yibum with Reuven's wife, lo choletzet velo mitzia bemet. There is no chalitza, there is no Yibum because it's eshet achiv shelo yalbolomo, and it's an erva, so there's nothing to do over here. Another thing, nisuim kodem neleida, if the marriage is before the birth, meaning that Shimon takes Reuven's wife as a Yivama, as a wife prior to the birth of Levi, then, o chaletzit, o mitya bemet. Then, according to Rabbi Shimon, Levi only met this woman while she was the wife of Shimon, and therefore it is muteret. He can deal with her like Shimon's wife, and he can form or chalitza or even with her if Shimon dies without children. So here it's pretty clear, Rabbi Shimon makes no distinction about the number of brothers, it's just about when Levi was born. My love, b'yaba mechad, that case, Rabbi Shimon makes no distinction between whether Shimon is one brother that is performing the Yibum over here, or there are multiple brothers that could perform Yibum over here. Tani lo choletzet velo mitya bemet. And he may say, there's no chalitza, there's no Yibum. If Levi is born before Reuven's wife was taken as a Yivama, there's nothing to talk about. Levi's out of the picture with regards to this woman. She's an erva to him. And he makes no distinction between one brother, two brothers. We don't see anything like that. So the Gemara says, lo, b'shnei Yivamim. Rabbi Shimon only makes that statement when there are two brothers there. Because there, it only matters whether the marriage happened or not. Aval b'yabam echad, my. So what are you going to tell me now? When there's only Shimon available to perform Yibum with Reuven's wife, what would be the din? Hachanami ocholetzet omitya b'emet. Then it works as if she was married to Shimon already, even though Levi's born before Shimon actually takes her as a wife. But since Shimon was the only person available to take her as a wife, then it's kekenusa damya. So then you're just going to say, if Shimon then passed away without children, Levi can perform Yibum or Chalitza with the woman. Iochi adatani nisuim kodim in the leida. Then the distinction that Rabbi Shimon makes in this statement about what the klal is, what the principle is, then we said this is the distinction he draws. If the nisuim, if the marriage of Shimon to the Yavama happens first, then o chaletzit o mitya bemet. Then Levi's fine to work with her. But if that's the case, liflog velitne bidida, you can make a much finer distinction. His distinction is a much grosser distinction, which is between Levi being born before the Yibum was performed, or Levi born after the Yibum was performed. You can make a finer, much more fine distinction, which is, even if Levi is born before the Yibum is performed, It depends on whether Shimon is the only brother or whether there's Shimon and other brothers that are available. So this is the way Rabbi Shimon said the principle. If Levi is born before Reuven's wife is taken as a Yevama, if there's only one brother, then it's as if she was married to Shimon beforehand and Levi can marry her. If there are two brothers, then it's a problem for Levi, and it's Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo. And if Shimon dies without children, then Levi can't perform Yibum with these women because she's an Ervatim. That's what Rabbi Shimon just said the klal is. Why is he talking about marriage before he takes her as a wife? After he takes her as a wife? Even before he takes her as a wife, you could have made that distinction, whether it's one brother or two brothers. How come Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that? And that's what the Gemara says. When is that true? Only when there are two Yivamim. Then if she's an Ervatim. But if it was only one brother, Shimon was the only brother, then Rabbi Shimon believes that that is Keknusa Damio, and therefore she's a full-fledged wife to Shimon prior to even getting married to Shimon, because Shimon was the only one available to perform Yibum. It says, no, Kula Bishnei Yivamim Kamari. That entire Braita is talking about two Yivamim, the Elamai Klolo. So then, why does he say Klolo? Rabbi Shimon makes the statement, klal. This is the principle. Now, if you make a statement that this is the principle, but it's really not the principle because it's only in this case, and I left out the other case, then it's no longer a klal anymore. It's not a principle. So as the Gemara says, okay, you want to suggest that that statement of Rabbi Shimon is only talking about where there are multiple brothers there. But if there was only one brother, Rabbi Shimon would disagree, then why does Rabbi Shimon make a statement, zeh klal? Zeh klal implies this is the principle you can rely on in all instances. So that's the first question of the Gemara. If that's the way you're going to answer, then what's the word klal being used over here? Ve'od. And on top of that, and this is what I said to you before, Meitiv Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya challenges over here, if you think that Rav Hoshaya is the one who made the statement, that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara, there was Rav Hoshaya who said that Rabbi Shimon disagrees in both Mishnayot, then what is Rav Hoshaya doing asking a question on Rav Hoshaya? Ella, it must be that Rabbi Hoshaya was the author of this position in Rabbi Shimon, and Rav Hoshaya is asking the question. And as Tosafot points out here, he makes this point in other places, Rabbi Hoshaya and Rav Hoshaya are two different people. One lives in Bavel, one lives in Eretz Yisrael, but they are different people, and therefore Rav Hoshaya here is challenging Rabbi Hoshaya's position, which is Gimel Achim, three brothers, Shnai Mehem Nisuin Shtei Achayot. Two of them are married to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. O Isha Ubita, or they're married to a mother and daughter. O Isha Ubat Bita, or they're married to a mother and granddaughter. O Isha Ubat Bina, or a woman and her granddaughter through her son. So here you have Reuben and Shimon either married to Rachel and Leah, either to two sisters, Rachel and Leah, or Isha Ubita, or to, let's call it Sarah and Rivka. The mother is Sarah, Rivka's the daughter, and Reuben and Shimon are married to Sarah and Rivka. Oh, Isha Ubat Bita. It's Sarah and Rachel. Sarah is the grandmother. Rachel is the granddaughter. In that case, they're married to two people who are relatives. That's the only thing that matters over here, is that these are two people who are relatives who you could not marry simultaneously. Reuben and Shimon are two different people. They can marry these two women. But obviously, if Reuben and Shimon pass away now, and these two women are going to fall to be Yivamot, then if there is an individual who can perform Yibum with them, they cannot perform Yibum with both women. Because the two women are Arayot Achat L'Sheni. In this instance, Hari Elu Chotzot V'lo Mityabmot. Here the Chachamim say, only Chalitza has performed no Yibum. For Rabbi Shimon, Poter. And Rabbi Shimon says they don't need to have anything done. This is what we call Achot Zekukato, which is that when these two women fall, Reuben and Shimon pass away, and these two women fall to Levi, he is related to both women now, because he has a zikah to Rachel, and a zikah to Leah, coming from different brothers, but he has a zikah to each one of them. That zikah to each one of them makes it as if he's married to a sister. If he goes in and performs Yibum with Rachel, he's then pogeyah in Leah, who is a zikah to him, who has a connection to him. If he goes in and marries Leah, he's pogeyah in the Zika towards Rachel. So the Chachamim say that Zika is not strong enough to eliminate any need for taking care of this. You require Chalitza. That's what I said before. The Chachamim view Zika as being something in the middle, like a cloudy type of connection between them, this twilight zone. So therefore, you have to perform chalitza with both women. Rabbi Shimon says, zika? That zika is strong enough to eliminate any need here. The problem is that they are both now available for yibum. He can't perform yibum with both of them. They both go out. No chalitza, no yibum. They're turot the gamre. Rabbi Shimon zika kikenusa damyo. So if you think Rabbi Shimon believes that a zika is kikenusa damyo, then it's very simple over here. Le'yabem le'kamaita. Then whichever one of the brothers died first, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, whichever one died first, that woman is the woman. That's the one that's going to be the Yavama. Because as soon as the first brother dies, the Zika kicks in. And Rabbi Shimon says, Zika Kenusa Damya, that means as if he's married to that first woman. So if it's Reuven's wife, Rachel, he's married to Rachel. Then when Shimon dies after that, then Leah becomes available. But too bad to Leah because he's already married to Rachel, because Zika's Kenusa Damya. Why don't we say the Yabeim the Kamaita Betiftari Dibateri Dach? He's married to the first Yivama that felt him. The second one's out without anything. Why does Rabbi Shimon say Poter by both of them? Amar Rav Amram, my Poter, Nami. What does he mean? We know when he says Patur over here, he means Poter Bishniya. It means that the second one's off the hook. So he says Enochanami. That's the way to read Rabbi Shimon over here. The first Yivama, he will marry. Patur? Patur means the second Yivama. She's out of the picture. She doesn't need Chalitza or Yibo. This is where it says, V'atanya. Is that really true? Rabbi Shimon, poter bishtehen. We have an explicit statement, Rabbi Shimon, that both of them are pterot. It's not just that the second Yivama is ptura. It's both of them are pterot. So, Amarova, shnia shibzugze, vishnia shibzugze. So he says, I'll solve the problem. What does shtehen mean? It means the second one in each pair. All right, I'll explain this in 1 second. So the Gemara says, katoi rova. Rava made a mistake over here. Ba'arba'a zuge. Because there were 4 pairs according to him. Chada, do'o'o k'tani. Number one is he forgot the word or. Va'ot, Rabbi Shimon poter ba'arba'tan mi'ba'ile. He should have said that he's patur in all 4 of them. What Rava suggests as the answer over here is, we said that a case brought down over here. 4 instances of marriages between relatives to 2 brothers. Either 2 sisters are married to Reuven and Shimon, a mother and a daughter are married to Reuven and Shimon, a mother and granddaughter through a daughter are married to Reuven and Shimon, or a mother and granddaughter through a son are married to Reuven and Shimon. 4 different scenarios where you have relatives married to Reuven and Shimon, and then they pass away without children, and now Levi's faced performing Yibum with 2 relatives. So the way we read the Mishnah over here is that it was either or. I mean, either Reuven and Shimon are married to 2 sisters, or they're married to a mother and a daughter. So it's any one of these cases. Therefore, when Levi's coming to perform Yibum over here, he's performing Yibum with 2 women, the wife of Reuven and the wife of Shimon. He's faced with 2 women. What Rava says is, no, you misread it. The Mishnah means that they were married to all 4 of these relationships. That means that Reuven is married to a woman whose Shimon is married to the sister. Reuven is married to a second wife whose daughter is married to his brother Shimon. Reuven is married to a third wife whose granddaughter is married to his brother Shimon. And Reuven is married to a woman whose granddaughter is married to his brother Shimon. Reuven has 4 wives and Shimon is married to 4 wives. Each of the wives of Shimon is somehow related to one of the wives of Reuven. That's all you need to know. So Rava says, when Shimon says shtehen pterot, he means not that the 2 women are pterot, the wife of Reuven and the wife of Shimon. He means that the shtehen, the second one in each of the pairs is pterah. The second one in each of the pairs is pterah because, let's say Reuven passed away first without children. Then, if we say Zika Kenusa Damya, he's married to one of these 4 women. One of these 4 women automatically is Yivama. Then, all the wives of Shimon fall to him as Yivamot, because Shimon passed away without children. But that happened second. So what Rava says is that when Rabbi Shimon said Shtehem Pterot, he didn't mean both of them are Pterot, he meant the second one in each pair is Pterah. Because the second one in each pair is related to Reuven's wives. And since Reuven died first, Levi is as if he's married to one of those wives of Reuven, and all the wives of Shimon go away without anything. So the Gemara says Rava clearly made a mistake in understanding the Mishnah. Number one is because the Mishnah says, When you say or doesn't mean simultaneously, it means either or. They weren't four marriages over here to relatives. There's one marriage. These are different options. Either it's two sisters married to Reuben and Shimon, or it's a mother and a daughter married to Reuben and Shimon. It's not both of them together. So that's number one mistake that Rava made in explaining this Reuben and Shimon this way. Number two is, if that is the case, it should have said Arbatam Pturot. All four of them are Pturot. The way that Reuben and Shimon phrases it, Shtehem Pturot. Two of them, the way it should have been phrased is, Reuben and Shimon said all four of them are Pturot. Because every one of the women that are married to Shimon are now Pturot. Then there are four of those there. So that's the way he should have phrased it. So it's clearly that is not the way that Rabbi Shimon meant to read it. Now, some of the Rishonim over here point out that it's even more problematic because over here, not only do the four women married to Shimon go free, but the three women that are married to Reuven also go free. He can only perform Yibum with one of those four women that is married to Reuven. So, yes, all four of the wives of Reuven felt him, but he can only perform Yibum with one of those wives. So in the end, he will marry one woman, and then seven women will be Pturot. Not even four women will be Pturot. So that explanation of Robo is very difficult. Va'o Tanya. And now here is the big kibosh, which is that Rabbi Shimon explicitly says what he meant. Rabbi Shimon poter b'shteyem min ha-chalitza u'min ha-yibum. Rabbi Shimon says that the shtey are patur from chalitza yibum. Shenemar. So now, this is something that we've learned earlier on. Machloket Ravi and the Chachamim as to the source for Tzarat Erva. The Chachamim says that the source for Tzarat Erva being Asura or being an Erva is from the word Litzror. Ravi learned it out from the word Vilakach, Vilakacha, Viyabam, Viyabama. And therefore, the Gemara says, what did Ravi do with the word Litzror? So Ravi says, you know what I do with the word Litzror? I learn like Rabbi Shimon. Well, here's the Rabbi Shimon that he was talking about. That I learned like Rabbi Shimon, which is the Tzror. V'shash nasu tzarot zulazo, lo yehe lecha likuchim afilu b'achat mehem. When they become tzarot one to the other, you have no marriage to either of them. You cannot perform yibum with either of them. So the scenario here is, the Tzror means that if they are already tzarot, co-wives, in a sense, before the yibum is performed, they are problematic before the yibum is performed, then the yibum doesn't go through. This is something we learned back again, earlier on Daf, Chet, and Tet, that what Rabbi Shimon means is, if when the two women fall, you can say, I can marry this one, or I can marry that one. So if I can marry Rachel, and I can marry Leah, then I get to choose which one I marry. So if I can perform Yibum with both of them, then I can say, okay, I perform Yibum with one of them. In this scenario, where Reuben and Shimon pass away and Rachel and Leah fall to Levi, he does not have that option. He can't marry both Rachel and Leah. He can't have Likuchim with both of them. Therefore, he has Likuchim with neither of them. And that's what the limud is of Litzror. Lo tikach Litzror. You cannot take women who, you cannot marry each one of them individually, since he can't marry Rachel. And since he can't marry Leah, therefore, he can't marry Rachel or Leah. That's going to be Shimon's limud. That means, therefore, when Rachel and Leah fall to him, and he has a zika to both of them, they both Pturot, they don't need anything done to them. And it's pretty clear that's what Rabbi Shimon's position is that they go out without any need, and the zika does not take effect. Unlike what Rabbi Oshaya was suggesting, that zika is kagnusa damya, and the first of these women should automatically have been married to him. And when the second one falls, she should be out of the picture. It's pretty clear here what Rabbi Shimon says is the first one falls, the second one falls to him, and now they cause a problem for each other. The problem is so big that he can't perform Yibum with either of them because of the pasuk of Lotikach Litzror. Since they are tzarot, since they are problematic, he can't marry this one and that one, then he can't marry either of them. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Inna Danaful Bezeach HaZer HaChanami. So Rav Ashi says, okay, I'll answer for Rabbi Oshaya. You're right. If they fell sequentially, you would have been right. Had Reuben and Shimon passed away sequentially, then you're right. Levi would have been married to Reuven's wife, and then Shimon's wife would have gone out with anything, and that's the way Rabbi Shimon's opinion would work. But, is a case where they died simultaneously. Reuven and Shimon died at the same moment, and therefore Levi is faced with Rachel and Leah at the same time. He has a zika to both of them at the same moment. So now there's no first and second to talk about, and this is the case where Rabbi Shimon says they go out without anything. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, suffer like Rabbi Yosef Glili. You have to believe then that Rabbi Shimon holds a griyosa glidit, amar efshar l'tzamtzem. That there's a possibility of things happening simultaneously. It's machloket in the Gemara and Bechorot, whether tzimtzum happens. It's a case where an animal gives birth to twins, or even a woman gives birth to twins, Can the babies be born simultaneously? Can you have the possibility that both of them are bechorot because they were born, they were poter the rechon at the same moment? Or is it impossible? It looks to us like they have at the same time, but it's only one or the other. Rabbi Yosef Glil believes that if shalitzamtzin, you can have something be really simultaneously. It's not that we don't know. It was simultaneously. It happened simultaneously, and therefore both of them have kedushat bechora. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe that it can happen simultaneously. We just don't know which one. Each one of them is a safek bechor. We just know which one. So, if Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yosef Glili, then you can make such a distinction between batachat and bezechar zeh. So maybe that's the explanation of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, then Rabbi Yoshaya is still right. Because Rabbi Shimon would agree if it happened sequentially in Ochanami. The Mishnah that we just quoted was talking about a case where it happened be vat achat. So now, that's very interesting, because if you go back now to the case that we brought, the first question that we brought on Rabbi Yoshaya, then what is the scenario? Rashi quotes this earlier on. It's the third Rashi on the Samud. It says, Gzeira shemiyam rushteiva mota ba'ot b'shnei batim. The case where, why do we require midrabanan in that case, that they perform yibum or chalitza with both of the women? Rashi says, v'naflu b'vat achat b'tzimtzum. Rashi makes a comment that you don't understand until now. Rashi says the case that was speaking about in that Mishnah of shlosh achim nesu'im shlosh nashim nachriot, the case that we ended off yesterday's daf with, must be a case where they died simultaneously. And they died simultaneously, therefore both women fell to him at the same moment. Why is Rashi saying that? Because otherwise, you would say that he should deal with the first woman, because Zika Kanusa Damya, and he should have to perform Yibum with the first woman, or can perform Yibum, then the second woman should be out of the picture. Why are we making him deal with both women? So the answer Rashi says is because Naflu Bavatachat, the Leklamim Asharisuna, who's Kakala Balashniya, but the Mamer Nami Titiabim Khadab Tiftarida. So you can't say that he performs Yibum with one of them and the other one goes free because they fail Bavatachat. Tosafot over there says, I don't understand that. That's a crazy case that they died simultaneously. You're telling me that the Chachamim put a gzeira in place for this crazy scenario where they died simultaneously? How rare is that? That's never going to happen. They wouldn't put a gzeira in there. So therefore, Tosafot says, "V'yoshleimar kagon sharishona hi ervada achiv hasheni shemeit shelo aita zekuka lo klal." That Tosafot says that the possibility is that the second woman was an ervada shimon. And therefore, the second woman is not relevant to over here. Only the first one is relevant in terms of being married to Shimon. And that's why Levi is dealing with two women. One that is attached to Shimon and one that is coming from Reuven. So Rishonim are trying to deal with those cases. Once we know this information down here, they're going back and trying to deal with the cases of three brothers married to three separate women. The first brother dies. And then the second brother dies. Why isn't this issue of sequential relevant? Why is it that we're saying here, oh, he has now a Zika from both brothers. There's a problem over here. As soon as she died the first time, the Zika should make it that they're attached to the first woman, and then the second woman is out of the picture. She has no connection over here. Because by definition, when Reuven passed away, the first brother passed away, and the Yevama fell to Shimon and Levi, it was as if Shimon was really married to this woman because of the Zika. When he passes away, it was as if he was married to her and he had two wives. And then when he passes away, those two wives now fall to Levi. And in Ochanami, it really is that if you perform Yibum or Chalitza to one of the women, the other one is Pturah. So that's why Rashi says the scenario where we worry about a Gzeira, Shema, Tomar, that when they fall from two houses, he'll perform Yibum or Chalitza with one and think the other one's Pturah, even though that's not the case. Rashi says it's only a case where Reuven and Shimon died simultaneously, and then the two women fall before Levi at that moment. Tosafot says that's an unusual case. It must be a case where when Reuven passed away, Shimon could not perform Yibum with Reuven's wife because they had some sort of relationship. It was an erva. And that's why now when Shimon dies, Levi is faced with performing Yibum with Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife. And they wouldn't be Pturah Echad et Hasheni because they're coming from two houses. The Ritva in the end gives the simplest answer, which is that case over there, if you remember in the Mishnah, was Shlosh Anashim, there were three brothers married to three different women who had no relationship. The first one dies, and then Shimon goes ahead and performs Ma'amar with that woman. And that scenario, that's when Rabbi Shimon says that the Zika takes hold, and it's as if it's married to Shimon. And that case, you're right, En Ochanami Mido Raito, if Shimon passes away at that point in time, both women are the wives of Shimon, and if Levi performs Yibum or Chalitza with one, the other one is Pturah. But had Shimon not performed Mamar in the interim, then that Zika would not have been strong enough to make it that Reuven's wife as if she was married to Shimon. And therefore, if Reuven passes away, and then this woman is waiting to perform Yibum either with Shimon and Levi, and then Shimon passes away without interacting with this woman, then it's clearly these two women are falling, one from Reuven, one from Shimon to Levi. And that interim stage of being married to Shimon never took effect. Because even though, yes, there is a Zika, it's only Zika with Ma'amar that makes it a strong enough marriage to me that she's as if she's considered married to Shimon. Without the Ma'amar, she was equally available to Levi and Shimon. It's not like as if she was Knusa. And that's the instance where you have Shtei Yevamot, Shabayim Mishnei Batim. But what you see here is all the Rishonim are trying to figure out what is the scenario where you'd have to worry about two Yevamot coming from two Batim according to Rabbi Shimon, since in most instances, according to Rabbi Shimon, the woman, after the first husband passes away, is already married to someone else because of the Zika, or according to the Ritva, because of the Zika and the Ma'amar. And there's almost no manifestation of a case where you could have a Yevama falling from Reuven and Shimon towards Levi. And that's what they're all trying to answer over here. Rashi does it through the conclusion of our Gemara now, which is that they fell Bevat Achat. We're putting a Gzer in place for that scenario. Tosafot says it's a case where Shimon couldn't marry the wife of Reuven, and that's why she remains a Yevama from Reuven and not from Shimon. And the Ritva says, Rabbi Shimon only says that it's Kekenusa Damia when you have Ma'amar along with the Zika. All right, so that's just a little sidebar about what we did earlier. Now the Gemara ended here. Now Rav Papa comes along to argue on Rabbi Hoshaya. Rabbi Hoshaya, who at the beginning of our sugya here, says Rabbi Shimon argues both in this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. Rav Papa comes and gives the position that we thought, which was more logical, and the position that the Gemara will end with, which is Rav Papa Amar, Bi'ibayim v'achar kach nolad, in a situation in which Shimon performed Yibum, and then Levi was born, that's Polig Rabbi Shimon. That's where Rabbi Shimon argues, that's our Mishnah here. But nolad v'achar kach Yibayim, if he was born Levi first, and then only then did Shimon perform Yibum, that's the first Mishnah in the Perek, lo Polig. He doesn't argue over there. So now the question that Rabbi Hoshaya asked is, then why do I need both Mishnayot? It would have been enough just to give the Mishnah over here, and I could have implied what was in the first Mishnah. Because if the Chachamim say, over here he's still Eishet Achim Shelo Ba'olam, then obviously in the first Mishnah of the Perek, they also believe that. V'tervayu l'Rabbonon itzrich. We need both of them for the Rabbonon, and it's just a literary style, which is below zu, avzuk tani. It is the literary style that the Mishnah many times tells you, not only this, but this. So that's what the first Mishnah is. Not only in a case where Levi is born before Shimon married her, do we say it's Eishet Achim Shelo Ba'olam? But even in a case where Levi is born after Shimon married Reuven's wife, it's still considered to be Eishet Achim Shelo Ba'olam. So that's a lozu avzu. The Chachamim say, not only in that first case is it Eishet Achim Shelo Ba'olam, even in the case where Levi is born after Shimon performed Yibum with Reuven's wife, that's also considered to be Eishet Achim Shelo Ba'olam. And so it's a literary style. The Mishnah, you're right, technically is extraneous, but it's just the way that Mishnayot present information. And so because of that, we're not going to make any big deal out of the fact that there's the first Mishnah there. And Rabbi Shimon only argues in this second Mishnah. And the Gemara says about Rav Papa's position, Tanya Kavote de Rav Papa. And we have a braita that supports Rav Papa's position, Vitayufta de Rabbi Hoshaya. And this is a strong refutation of Rabbi Hoshaya's position. And that's what the Gemara said back on Tet. Remember the Gemara over there was talking about Plugtot, that our Mishnah has Plugtot? And we said, wait a minute. Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim disagree about Eishet Achim Shelo Ba'olamo. The Gemara says, no, but they agree in a case where Levi is born before Shimon marries Reuven's wife. They said, what about Rabbi Hoshaya? Rabbi Hoshaya says, they argue even in that case. The Gemara says, it otav Rabbi Hoshaya. Rabbi Hoshaya was refuted. We had a very strong question against Rabbi Hoshaya. This is it. This is the itota of Rabbi Hoshaya, and therefore the Gemara rejects Rabbi Hoshaya's position and says we don't have to worry about the fact that he says they argue in both instances. Now here is the Braita. Just before we start the Braita, so you can understand what the Braita is doing, the Braita is going through different possible iterations of Eishet Achiv Shelo Ba'olamo. It's a case where Reuven passes away, and his wife is available to Shimon. What happened in the interim? There are a number of things that are going to happen. Levi's going to be born somewhere, so that's what pay attention to. And number two is, what did Shimon do with regards to this woman? Shimon could have done nothing. Shimon could have performed Mamar with her. Shimon could have performed Yibum with her. Those are the three possibilities. So that's what's going to go on in this Braita. This Braita is going to give you the different permutations of when Levi is born and what Shimon did with her. So I've said that should make it easier to follow along what's happening. Shnei achim b'olam echad. You have two brothers that are alive at the same time, Reuven and Shimon. Umet echad mehem below Vlad. Reuven passes away without having a child. V'amada sheni hazeh. And Shimon, who has the brother now available, amada sheni hazeh lasot mamar b'vimto. He went ahead to try to perform mamar. Velo he speak lasot b'mamar ad shenolado ach umet. He was not successful at performing mamar with this woman until the point where Levi was born and he dies. Basically, in the end, Shimon did nothing. Right? That's the Gemara will ask later on. Then why did it say he attempted to do mamar? What does it matter that he attempted to do mamar? Why is that meaningful at all? He didn't do it in the end. So here, the bottom line is Shimon did nothing. And Levi is born and then Shimon passes away. So this is the first case. Harishona yotza mishum ish rachiv shelo yabo lomo. Reuven's wife goes out as a woman where Levi cannot get married to her because he was never alive with Reuven at the same time. Ushnia, and the woman who is married to Shimon now, he can ocheletzet omitya bemet. He can do whatever he wants with her because he was born before Shimon died. And therefore, as far as Shimon's wife is concerned, he was Ezerachiv shehaya be'olomo. And therefore he deals with her either Yibum or Chalitza. Reuven's wife goes out without anything because she's an erva to him. That's the first scenario. That's case number one. Here's now case number two. Case number two is broken down into two smaller cases. Asaba mamar. Shimon was successful at performing mamar with Reuven's wife. Vacharkach nolad ach. And then only then was Levi born. Oh, shenola lo ach. Vacharkach asaba mamar umet. Or the other scenario is that Levi's born and then Shimon performs mamar with Reuven's wife and then Shimon passes away. So here in this scenario, Shimon succeeds at performing mamar with Reuven's wife. The question is, was it before Levi was born or after Levi was born? Those are the two scenarios here. Harishona yotza mishum eshet achiv shelo yabo lomo. The first woman, Reuven's wife, goes out because eshet achiv shelo yabo lomo. She never was fully married to Shimon, and therefore she's still somewhat Reuven's wife. If that's the case, Levi can't marry her because it's eshet achiv shelo yabo lomo. She's out of the picture. Ushnia. Choletzet velo mitya bemet. And the second one can only have chalitza performed there, not yibum. Why? Because Shimon performed mamar with Reuven's wife. By performing mamar with Reuven's wife, he was somewhat married to Reuven's wife. Because mamar is a rabbinic institution, and therefore it's not clear what the status is. This is like Twilight Zone with mamar. This is the Rabbanan's position, what I said to you before. The Rabbanan view these types of things like mamar and zika as being twilight zones where you're kind of married, you're kind of not married. This safek about what exactly the status is. It's strong enough to cause you a problem, but not strong enough to get rid of the problem. They know that mamar is not a full marriage, but because he already performed mamar, it looks like he's married to this woman, and that already creates a problem. Therefore, it looks like tzarata erva over here. In this case, where Shimon performed mamar with Reuven's wife, for sure, Reuven's wife's out of the picture because she was never fully married to Shimon, and therefore, for Levi, she's Eshet Achiv Shelo Belomo. The only question is with regards to Shimon's wife now. Is Shimon's wife affected by the mamar that Shimon did with Reuven's wife? So the Gemara says, it's yes, she's affected, but not fully affected. She's affected enough that we say you can only perform Chalitza, not Yibum, but not affected enough to say she goes out without anything. And that's what it means, that she's somewhat married in this mamar, because we force her to perform Chalitza, because it looks like Tzarat Erva looks like a co-wife too, an erva of Eshet Achiv Shelo Belomo, but it really isn't. So therefore, Midah Raita, she's got to perform Chalitza. Midah Rabbanan, we say no Yibum over here. That's the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon comes and argues, and Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biata, O Chalitza Shel Echad Mehem, Poteret Tzarata. That if he has Bia or Chalitza with one of these two women, that takes care of the co-wife. The one of them over here means the royal wife of Shimon. And chalatz lebalat mamar lo niftarat tzara. If he performs chalitza with the woman, Reuven's wife, that Shimon has mamar with, then Shimon's real wife still requires chalitza, and the Gemara will discuss this later on. Now, it's not clear which of the cases Rabbi Shimon argues on. In this instance over here, Rabbi Shimon's arguing on this latter case in the Mishnah, but this latter case has two manifestations. Remember, Shimon performed mamar. But the case had two instances. It's either Levi's born, Shimon performs mamar, or Shimon performs mamar, then Levi's born. Is Rabbi Shimon arguing on both of those cases, or only one of those two cases? That the Gemara will clarify. I'm just pointing it out now so it becomes easier to understand when we get to it in the Gemara. Then, the last case. Case number three. Kansa umet. Here's the case where Shimon took her as a wife. The third possibility. Right? We said before, Shimon could do one of three things with this woman. Nothing, mamar, or marry her. So here's the third scenario, where Shimon already performs yibum with Reuven's wife. Umet. And then he dies. V'achakach nolad lo'ach. And then Levi is born. Osh nolad lo'ach. V'achakach kansa. Or Levi is born, and then Shimon performs yibum with Reuven's wife. Umet. And then he dies. Shtehen turot min achalitza umina yibum. They are both exempt from chalitza and yibum because they're eshet achiv shelo haya be'olamo. Okay, so then in the scenario where kansa, that he married her and then nolad lo'ach and Levi was born afterwards, then he dies. Shtehen peturot min achalitza umina yibum, like we said before. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, hoil uba umatza beheter. Since he came and found her beheter, velo amda lav shachat bi isur, she was never eshet achiv shelo haya be'olamo for Levi. Miyabim lezemehen sheyirtze, he can form yibum with either one of Shimon's wives now. O chaletz lezemehen sheyirtze, he can form chalitza with either of them. So now, in this last scenario, ha bava de seifa leman ketani la. This last section where we have machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, why is it written over here? We already had in the Tanakhama or the Chachamim's position, they said it didn't matter whether Levi is born before Shimon performed yibum with Reuven's wife. Doesn't matter if Levi was born after Shimon performed yibum with Reuven's wife. He's out. It doesn't work. So Gemara says, so then, this last scenario where we say, oh, it's really a machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon with regards to the case where Levi's born after Shimon performed yibum, who are we writing this for? Ilay mila Rabbi Meir, Tani La, we're writing this for Rabbi Meir. Michte, lo shani le Rabbi Meir, ben yibeim v'acharkach nolad, ben nolad v'acharkach yibeim. So according to Rabbi Meir, there's no difference between whether Levi's born before Shimon marries Reuven's wife, or whether Levi's born after Shimon married Reuven's wife. It's irrelevant. La arvinu v'litninu. Then why did you separate it out in the end? You could have put them all together. You don't need to separate out the case where Levi's born after or before. It should have been one case. So if that's the scenario, then why do we separate it out? For Rabbi Meir, there's no reason to separate it out. Rashi says you could have put the whole thing together in the Mishnah. You could have combined all the cases in the Mishnah. Tosafot says not exactly. You could have combined these two cases. The case where Shimon married and performed Yibum with Reuven's wife. Just doesn't matter if Levi's born before or after, because Rabbi Meir says in either case, it's Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo. Elav Rabbi Shimon. So then why do we write it? We wrote it for Rabbi Shimon. Why do we write it for Rabbi Shimon? Because it'll be Yibein v'achakach nolad polig. That's because he only argues in that one scenario. The one scenario where Shimon performed Yibum with Reuven's wife, and then only then was Levi born. But benolad v'achakach Yibein, but in a case where Levi's born, and then only then does Shimon perform Yibum with Reuven's wife, lo polig. He does not argue. Shma mina. Here's number one, the proof to Rav Papa's position, that Rav Papa's right, and it's also the proof against Rabbi Yoshaya's position that Rabbi Shimon argues in even in this instance. Because this braita is pretty clear that Rabbi Shimon only argues in a case where Levi is born after Shimon has performed Yibum with Reuven's wife. Because there she was only around when Beheter. For Levi, he only met this woman when she was married to Shimon. Therefore, there's never an instance where he bumped into her where she was still Reuven's wife. Alright, so now, Amamar, the Gemara is now going to go back and discuss these sections of the braita. Amar Amasheni Lasot Ma'amar Be'ivim Tov. So this is that first scenario where I pointed out to you, it's a little funny, the language of the Braita, where it says, Amar Amasheni Lasot Ma'amar. Shimon wanted to perform Ma'amar. V'lo yispik Lasot Ma'amar Be'ivim Tov Ad Shinot Lo'ach. And he was unsuccessful performing Ma'amar until Levi is born, Umeit. And then he dies. Rishina Yotza Mishum Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo. Reuven's wife sat out of the picture for Levi because he came from Reuven. He was never around when Reuven was alive. Ushnia Ucholetzet Omit Yabemet. And the second woman was fully Shimon's wife, and therefore Levi can deal with her because Levi was born before Shimon died. My Amad, or my Lohi speak. What does it mean that he got up to do it? And my Lohi speak, and he wasn't successful. I Avad, Avad. If he did it, he did it. I Lo Avad, Lo Avad. If he didn't do it, he didn't do it. I mean, it's either he did or he didn't perform Ma'amar. What is this? That he wanted to perform Ma'amar and he didn't. Just say he didn't perform Ma'amar. What's the whole idea that he tried to perform Ma'amar? So, Ela Amad Midata, Vlohi speak me data elaval korcha. Very interesting. He wanted to perform Ma'amar with her willingly, where she was a willing participant in the Ma'amar. But he was unsuccessful at getting her acquiescence, And he ended up performing Mamar with her against her will, without her acquiescence. So now, what's the story here? He performed Mamar without acquiescence. It's very interesting because if we seemingly Mamar was put in place to create a simulation to Kiddushin. Now we know the din by Kiddushin is that a woman is not married to a man in Kiddushin, except if she's a willing participant, if she acquiesces to the marriage. Now it's a machlokin in Rishonim, how much she needs to be a participant in the Kiddushin. The most extreme formulation of that is the Ran in the Darim, who says the woman is really a passive participant in Kiddushin, she just has to not say no. As long as she doesn't reject it, she just sits there and becomes married. She's not really an active participant. Other Rishonim view it as the woman being an equal partner in the Kiddushin. So you have all across the spectrum in terms of how the Rishonim view it, but it's clear by Kiddushin that the woman has to be a willing participant in Kiddushin. What is being suggested here by the Gemara is that the Yivama now is a participant, but an unwilling participant in the Ma'amar. So now Gemara says, Duloka Rabbi. That is not like Rabbi, and now we're going to see a machloket as to whether Ma'amar works without the acquiescence of the Yivama. Which is, the Tanya of a Braita. Ose Ma'amar b'Yivimto Shalomi Data. Someone performs Yibum with his Yivama, Shalomi Data, without her acquiescence, or without her even knowing about it. He performs, he creates, says, Hariat mityabemet li, and he gives her some presents, some gift, and that's it, done. She doesn't have to say anything, whether she accepts or doesn't accept, it's done. So now, Rabbi Omer Kana, it works. He's successful at performing the Ma'amar, even without the acquiescence of the Yivama. Chamim Amim, lo Kana. It doesn't work. My time at the Rabbi. What's Rabbi's reasoning that Ma'amar works even without the woman agreeing? Gamar mi bia di Yivama. He learns it out of bia to a Yivama. Because in an instance of a bia with a Yivama, ma bia di Yivama bal korcha, just like we said, we know this from the Torah. Rabbi and the Chachamim learned this both out. We saw this earlier in the Masechta, that if Yibum is performed bal korcha, he has bia with her, even without her knowledge, even actually truthfully without his knowledge. If he falls off the roof and has bia with her somehow, he's married to her. The Yibum goes through. So even if it's bal korcha, af kiddushim di yivama bal korcha. So too the kiddushin, which is mamar, by yivama, also can be performed without the acquiescence of the woman. Rabbanan gamri mi kiddushin, da'alma. The Rabbanan learn it out of kiddushim in general. Ma kiddushin da'alma mi data, af kiddushim di yivama mi data. Just like kiddushim in general require the woman to be a participant, so to hear the mamar or the kiddushin of Yivama also require the woman to be a participant. B'mai kamiflige, what are they arguing about? Mar savar mile divama, mi mile divama. Havalei the melof. Rabbi believes that, okay, yes, kiddushin is the reason we put mamar in place. But once we put mamar in place, it's within the context of Yibum. In the context of Yibum, the woman is not an active participant. She can be bal korcha. So just like the bia is bal korcha, so too the kiddushin can be bal korcha. That's the way Rabbi learns. Umar savar, the chachamim learn, mile di kiddushin, mi mile di kiddushin, amile de melech. That if the paradigm is kiddushin, then the mamar should look just like kiddushin. Just like kiddushin requires an active or a willing participant, so too mamar requires a willing participant. So what the Gemara is suggesting here is that Rabbi is not the author of this braita, because the braita says if he tried to do mamar with her willingly, and it turned out he didn't do it, but he was successful doing mamar bal korcha, then the mamar does not go through, and it's as if he did nothing. That is like the shita of the chachamim. And that's what the Gemara says over here, that braita is deloka Rabbi. It's not like Rabbi. Because Ahmad, he tried to perform mamar. He did it bal korcha. So for Rabbi, that's a good mamar. But our braita says it's as if he did nothing. So that is like the chachamim. And our braita is following that position of the chachamim, then mamar looks exactly like kiddushin, and therefore you need the acquiescence of the woman. And here, where he performed mamar without her acquiescence, it's considered as if nothing happened. And that's why that first case in the braita is a case where there was no mamar. So that's how the Gemara explains that part of the braita. Now, all of this is very interesting, because even though, as Tosafot points out, the mamar is only midrabanan, nevertheless, the institution, or the takana, mamar derabanan, that's what they're arguing about. When the chachamim put the takana in place, how did they formulate it? What was the paradigm they were using? According to Rabbi, they were using kiddushin and yivama as a paradigm, and therefore they came up with a kiddushin that works for yivama, which is kiddushin bal korcha. The chachamim say no, the only paradigm here is kiddushin, And Kiddushin is only with the acquiescence of the woman, only when she is midata. And therefore, Ma'amar also only works midata. Now, the Gemara moves on to the second case in the Braita. We had dealt with the first case in the Braita, the second case. If you remember, in the second case of the Braita, I told you that there were two permutations, which is Asaba Ma'amar, Vracha Kach Nolod Ach. He successfully performed Ma'amar, and then Levi is born. Oh, Nolod Ach, or Levi's born. And then afterwards he did Ma'amar, Umeit. And then Shimon dies. The first woman who was married to Reuven goes out, Levi doesn't touch her because that's Eshet Achiv Shloya Balamo. And the second woman goes out with Chalitza and no Yibam. Again, technically he could do either Yibam or Chalitza with her, or she'd be able to do nothing with her. Because either he is married to her or not married to her, depending on whether the Ma'amar works or not. But in the end, we say the Chachamim require Chalitza because Ma'amar makes it as if Reuven's wife was somewhat Ruth Shimon's wife now, and therefore we're not going to let you do Yibam with Shimon's other wife. On the other hand, we can't let Shimon's other wife go free without anything because he wasn't really married to Reuven's wife. Rabbi Shimon Omar, Biatah Chalitza Shalachamim Puteret Tzaratah. So Rabbi Shimon seems to indicate that the Bia and the Chalitza take care of the whole problem. Rabbi Shimon Ahai Koi. And which of the two scenarios that are mentioned here was Rabbi Shimon speaking about? If it's the scenario in which Levi's born, and then only then did Shimon perform Ma'amar, Haramart, you already said, Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue in a case where Levi is born, and then only then does Shimon perform the Yibum with Reuven's wife. Rabbi Shimon agrees in that case, that's Esher Achiv, Shalo Hayab Olamo. So even if you think Ma'amar is strong enough to make it as if they're fully married, nevertheless, here Levi's born, and the Ma'amar only happened after Levi is born. In that scenario, even Rabbi Shimon agrees it's considered to be Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabalamo, and clearly Rabbi Shimon would not be matir in that case. Ella, it must be in a case of Asaba Ma'amar, V'achar Kach Nolad Nalach. Must be in that second scenario, in the second case of the Braita, which is a case where Levi is born after Shimon performed Ma'amar. Shimon does Ma'amar, then Levi is born. And this is what we said earlier, that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that either Ma'amar works completely or doesn't work at all. He doesn't have this in-between state. Therefore, when Shimon performed Ma'amar prior to the birth of Levi, either he is fully married to this woman because the Ma'amar was successful, and therefore Shimon now has two wives, or the Ma'amar did nothing. And since the Ma'amar did nothing, then Shimon's actual wife is available to him to be married because the Balat Ma'amar, Reuven's wife, never actually got married to Shimon. She had no connection to Shimon. And this wife of Shimon is available for Yibum, but the wife of Reuven is out of the picture. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, Biata o chalitata shelachad mehem poteret tzarata. If you perform Bia, Yibum, or Chalitza with the actual wife of Shimon, then the other woman is out of the picture. Reuven's wife is out of the picture no matter what. That is because either the Ma'amar worked, and Reuven's wife now is a full wife to Shimon, and therefore, once Levi performs Yibum or Chalitza with Shimon's actual wife, he also is Poteret, Reuven's wife, who's now married to Shimon, because they are Tzarot. If the Ma'amar is not Koneh, and it doesn't work at all, then the Bia or Chalitza with Shimon's wife is allowed because they were Achim Sheya Be'olamo, and Reuven's wife is off limits to Levi anyway because she's an Eshet Achiv Sheya Be'olamo. So Mimon of Shach, Reuven's wife is off the hook, either because of Eshet Achiv Sheya Be'olamo if Ma'amar is nothing, or because she's Shimon's real wife because Ma'amar was fully Koneh. So therefore, if he performs Bia or Chalitza with the real wife of Shimon, then the wife of Reuven that fell to Shimon, who performed Ma'amar with her, is out of the picture. You don't have to do anything for her. But Chalatz LaBalat Ma'amar, if he performs Chalitza with Reuven's wife, who had Ma'amar with Shimon, then Lo Niftarat Sarah. Then the wife of Shimon, the real wife of Shimon, doesn't go away without anything. That's because what the Gemara says here, Chalatz LaBalat Ma'amar, Lo Niftarat Sarah. My time. Because Shimon's wife is for sure married to Shimon, and Levi definitely has to deal with her in terms of Yibum Chalitza. But with regards to Reuven's wife, we don't know if she's fully married to Shimon now, and therefore dealing with her will take care of Shimon's wife, or whether she's not married to Shimon at all, and therefore taking care of her or doing something with her has no impact on Shimon's wife because she's really Reuven's wife. Vein safek motzei midei vadai. Because she's a safek, you can't have her be poter, the real wife of Shimon. And therefore, he performs chalitza with Reuven's wife who had mamar with Shimon, he would still have to perform chalitza with the real wife of Shimon. He can't perform even with her in case mamar really is Conan, they're both wives of Shimon. If he performed chalitza with the first, he can't marry the second. So he'll have to perform chalitza with both wives then, according to that position of Rabbi Shimon. And now the Gemara moves on to explain the position of Rabbi Shimon versus the Chachamim, why they argue in a case where Levi is born after Shimon performed Yibam with Reuven's wife. Yotiv Rabbi Menashe bar Zvid, kamei de Rabbi Huna, v'yotiv v'kamar. My time of the Rabbi Shimon. Let's understand the position of Rabbi Shimon. By understanding the position of Rabbi Shimon, then we can understand what's going on over here. My time of the Rabbi Shimon, kedamar taima. What do you mean? What's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? We know the reason by Rabbi Shimon. He says, "O ba matzah beheter v'lom dalav shachat v'yisur." We just saw that the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's opinion is because Levi never bumped into this woman where she was not muteret to him. He only knew this woman when she was Shimon's wife, and that's Eshet Achiv Sheyav Olamo. He never knew this woman when she was married to Reuven or waiting after Reuven had passed away to perform Yibum with Shimon. So we understand Rabbi Shimon's position. Ella, my time is the Rabbonon. What is the position of the Rabbonon? So Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ule kacha lo liisha viyibma. He who takes her as a wife, viyibma. Adayin yibumim arishonim alea. The original Yibum is still attached to her. So now, this is the Rabbonon's position over here, which is that even after Shimon performs Yibum with Reuven's wife, she still has a connection to Reuven. And this is what I explained earlier in the Masechta, mentioned a number of times, that Machloket Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim here revolves around this issue. Once Shimon performs Yibum with Reuven's wife, after Reuven has passed away, what is the status of this woman? What is the status of this marriage? Does she then become a full-fledged wife to Shimon? And Reuven's out of the picture completely. Or do we say that Shimon has married her, but she still has a connection to her original marriage to Reuven? What I suggested, which I think it might work out here, is that the Kiddushin is generated through Reuven's marriage to her. The Nisuin is created through Shimon's marriage to her. That is because when Reuven married her originally, he had Kiddushin and Nisuin with this woman. After Reuven passed away without children and Shimon comes to perform Yibum, the Torah only demands that Shimon does one thing, new Nisuin. That is Yibma. So the Nisuin are replaced. Shimon replaces the Nisuin of Reuven, but he never replaces the Kiddushin of Reuven. The Chachamim came and instituted Mamar to make it as if there is something like that there. But in reality, in the Torah, Shimon only replaces Nisuin. So what ends up happening is you have Kiddushin from Reuven, Nisuin from Shimon. And the question is, that tension, which side does it go to? Rabbi Shimon says, once you perform Nisuin with this woman, the Kiddushin of Reuven are gone. The Kiddushin of Reuven are what generated the fact that there is Yibum over here. But once Shimon performs Nisuin over here, Reuven's out of the picture entirely, and Nisuin governs. The Chachamim say, wait a minute, you're right, Nisuin is performed by Shimon over here. But the Kiddushin of Reuven are still there. And since that's the fact, Reuven is still somewhat attached to this woman. And therefore, for the Chachamim, she's Eshet Achiv Shelo Ayoav Olamo, even after Shimon marries her, because there's a residual of Reuven in this woman. On the other hand, for Rabbi Shimon, once Shimon performs Nisuin with her, Yibum with her, the Kiddushin of Reuven are gone, everything of Reuven's gone, there's no residual Reuven, and therefore, it's not Eshet Achiv Sheyav Olamo. So again, that's the machloket here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's position is very understandable. The Gemara question, what's the Chachamim's position? Because he's right. Once Shimon marries her, she should be a full-fledged wife. Gemara says, no, the answer is that she is a full-fledged wife to Shimon, but she still has a residual of Reuven in her. I'm going to stop over here. Just know that the Gemara tomorrow is going to challenge this assumption that once Shimon performs Yibum with Reuven's wife, that she still has a residual of Reuven in her, because then certain halachot that we know are going to become a little bit more problematic, because there should be a residual of Reuven always in this woman. And how do we deal with the fact that Reuven still has some attachment to this woman? Okay, we're going to stop over here, two lines from the bottom of Yutet Amud Bet.